This is an interview with Nadine Yaneko-Dozono. This is Clark Hansen from the Oregon Historical Society. The date is the 4th of February, 1998. And this is tape 13, side 1. I guess what I was wondering was, and you just said off tape, that that the younger generation was getting more involved. And I was wondering whether there was any kind of disagreement or a different way of looking at how the Japanese people should be compensated. Maybe that money was necessary or wasn't necessary, or just an apology, or some kind of proclamation, or whether it should be just left alone and forgotten about. Was there much discussion about these different things?
Publicly, I don't think there was. I think it was the core of the community that belonged to the Japanese American Society, Citizens League, and they were the ones who started this organization. And I do know that some of the people would say, well, it's a disgrace for us to even accept money or try to get money from the government because it's all in the past. That's one person's feeling. And they say, well, the other is, well, look how much we lost. We lost all of our possessions. We lost 5 years of not even being able to work. Mm-hmm. And the people who are doctors in camp only got $19 a month for nothing. And they had to, in the camps, they had to organize hospitals. They had to organize Boy Scout clubs. They had to organize their education from grade school to high school. And that was a great loss in their lives. And so there was, I would venture to say that there was a lot of discussion within the groups. Mm-hmm. But as I say, I was not involved in those groups.
Do you think that from your description here of what people had to go through with the internment, that there may have been something positive that came out of it? Was there anything positive that came out of all that? Or was it just all a bad nightmare?
Well, one positive thing was I have heard that so many of the Japanese, especially the Iseis, were so involved in making a livelihood that when they got into camps, they were able at least to have some kind of social life, mm-hmm. that they had time to be connected with flower-raising groups or tea ceremonies or the things that they were never able to do. They were also able to make friends in the Japanese community, make new friends, mm-hmm. and have the leisure of being able to do that. But that's the positive side. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard children say that they never knew that there were so many Japanese kids that they could play with. Mm-hmm. And so they started having basketball teams that they could compete with amongst themselves.
Right.
And this goes to another aspect that George, my son-in-law, was still a young boy, but he knew my father in camp. And he reminisced in the fact that my father and his father are good friends, and so they would go way out towards the fields within the limits of the camp and to look for greasewood. And they had the time and the leisure to be able to make different dishes or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I would like to show you some of the things that George's father had made. But that is the good aspect. But the other, there's more bad than good in that they had, that they were behind barbed wires.
Yes.
And they didn't have time to make their own livelihood. They had no privacy whatsoever. I hear these horror stories that absolutely no privacy at all. And my father and my youngest sister had a small one room. And my sister tells me that my father got a sheet and partitioned, you know, even mm-hmm. between the rooms so that my sister would have at least some privacy. Mm-hmm. And
now, a number of Japanese decided to move to into the interior of the country more than 300 miles, I guess 300 miles inland. And some actually formed communities in places like Nissa on the Oregon-Idaho border.
My sister was one of them.
Why didn't more people do that?
My sister had married a farmer, and so she had the background of knowing what a farmer was. And
right.
So she went to Nisa, and then they started having people working in the onion fields. And I think that she told me that she was able to get permission for the Ise women, who had nothing to do in the camps, to be able to work out in the camps, mm-hmm. and to earn money in that aspect. So they were outside of the boundary, and so they were able to make a living. But on the other hand, they were also discriminated because there were Japanese working. And so my sister was telling me that she really fought for the people and knowing the owners, because she had been living out there for a long time, mm-hmm. that she insisted that the Japanese laborers would get as much or if not more than the other laborers because they worked longer hours.
Right. But why didn't more people just move to Chicago or Minneapolis or New York or wherever, and did they have that choice? Could they have gone there instead of being in the camps?
I understand that some of them did
uh-huh.
go out, but they also had to have a sponsor.
You
couldn't just go out by yourself.
They couldn't?
No, I don't think so. They had to have someone who would be the intermediator.
I see. So now, what are these
this is
birds?
The greasewood, and George's father used to make this, and he gave these to me. So all of my grandchildren each have them, but I think they're beautiful works of art.
Now we're looking at these small wooden birds. They're a couple inches long and a couple inches high, maybe, or inch and a half high. And they're beautifully painted, very, very beautifully detailed and carved. And they're all perched on a little branch. They're really beautiful. Did they have I see they have a pin on the back. Did they have a purpose then?
Well, George's father made those, and I think he might have been selling those. I'm not sure, but he did give me these collections, and I've treasured these. And when the children were small, each got one. I adopted that. Maybe five out of the 11 grandchildren still have them, but I saved these because I wanted them to. I want to give each of these children these when they grew up and would know how to appreciate
yes.
the things that the people did in camp.
They really are beautiful. They're really quite remarkable.
But this is one of the good things that happened in camp, that
yes.
they had the leisure to be able to do things that they had never been able mm-hmm. to do because, all they did was work mm-hmm. to try to make a living,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What events occurred to correct or compensate the Nikkei for what had happened? Do you recall any of the series of events?
By events, would you?
Well, for instance, there was a public proclamation, number 21, which was the formal statement ending the mass exclusion of the Japanese from the West Coast, and I believe that actually happened sometime after the war. It didn't happen right away, but then there was the Walter McCarran Act of June 52, in which the Issei were allowed to become naturalized citizens, and the proclamation by President Gerald Ford on February 6, 1976, terminating Proclamation 9066 and acknowledging that there had been mistakes made with the Japanese people.
And you see a copy of that in the Memorial Park down there, close to the Willamette River.
Hmm.
Have you ever been?
I've been there, but yes. I don't recall the
proclamation.
The proclamation.
Oh yes, there is.
Uh-huh.
That's a beautiful park down there.
It's very beautiful.
And
the stones, those beautiful yes. stones with the carvings in them.
And that was the architect is Robert Morase, Mm-hmm. And he's the one that he had lived in Japan, and his wife learned how to play the koto, and he learned how to play the shakuhachi, which is a very difficult mm-hmm. Japanese bamboo instrument. And he studied, I'm sure he studied architect and art in Japan, so he was the one that was assigned to be the architect of that park. And so there's a lot of wonderful oriental meaning in that park, and the way the stones were placed, and the way the different poems were placed. And then with the President Reagan's proclamation.
Mm-hmm. Now, why did it, with President Ford's proclamation in 1976, why did it take them so long to end the proclamation 9066? That was decades later. Why did it take them more than 20 years to come to that?
Well, I think probably it's because the JCL had so many things that they had to go through Congress, and they had to go through mm-hmm. all the red tape that is always connected with the government. And so it's not just the government wanting to take one aspect of what's going on, but they had to, as you know, Washington, D.C. is involved with the whole world, and so right. the Japanese wanting something like this or a public apology, it did take years for them to get down to the nitty-gritty of it.
President Bush also called for restitution and apologies. Was one of those proclamations, President Ford or President Reagan or President Bush's proclamation, more important as far as a turning point?
You mean the importance of one president to the other?
The importance of what they did for the Japanese American people. Was there one of those proclamations that had more significance?
I don't think so. Uh-huh. I think it just took time, and it just happened that it was in Reagan's regime that it happened.
I see. Uh-huh. And then, as you had mentioned earlier, the Japanese-American Historical Plaza was dedicated on August 3rd, 1990. I would imagine that a large number of the Nikkei population was down there to witness that.
Yes, it was a big celebration. Uh-huh. The American public did recognize the fact that the Japanese were not only Japanese, but they were Japanese Americans, and they were American citizens, and this was a terrible grievance towards one whole nation, mm-hmm. because that they were of a different nationality.
Right. There was some monetary compensation given to some of the older people, wasn't there?
Well, it was $20,000 for not only older people, for everyone who was in camp. But that also took so much time that it's a great pity that the people who really suffered in camp, the Issei's, who lost everything, absolutely lost everything, and who died because of nervous breakdowns or having to be separated from their family members, mm-hmm. and those are the people were not compensated, because there are so many of the people who died during that time. And then one comical aspect that I think is that children who were born in camp also got the money. And to me, of course, it's just a matter of being there at the right time, at the right place, but the people who really should have gotten it were gone by the time that they were able to, that they were able to get the compensation. There were instances too of Issei saying that they don't want it now.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Because they said, well, we went through all this. Why should the government give it to us now, since we don't need it now, mm-hmm. because we're taken care of by our children or whatever. Mm-hmm. There was also a rumor amongst the people who said that if you don't need it, then you should give it back to the government. There are other instances where they said, well, you should, why don't you just donate back to the JCL, mm-hmm. because they're the ones that did that. But I felt that the people who, especially the Issei's who got it, I talked to several of them and I said, Oba-san, auntie, you deserve it. You went through this, so you deserve it. So you should do what you want to do with it. If you want to give it to your grandchildren, fine. If you want to go out and you know, buy yourself clothes or go out to mm-hmm. have a nice party, I said, this is your money, so I don't think that you should donate it back to JCL.
Mm-hmm. 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 Is there a feeling that something more should be done?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
You think it's closed?
I think it's closed.
Uh-huh.
And I think it should be closed.
Mm-hmm. So you think that whole chapter then has been sealed and that Nikkei can go on to their future lives without this terrible thing hanging over them and feeling the need for some further action?
I personally feel that that's the way it should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there people that don't?
Well, there are a lot of people who still feel that the coming generation should know what had mm-hmm. happened, because it is part of history. Excuse me.
So what kinds of things are going on today within the Nikkei community? What kinds of organizations and whatnot are there? I noticed in reading the book, your granddaughter's book, that there's the Oregon Nikkei Endowment, one, O-N-E.
That endowment is, they are trying to find a museum here other than the Oregon Historical Society mm-hmm. where it would be just for the Nikkei. Hmm. And they have a building downtown which was
So the Oregon Nikkei Endowment is primarily for a museum.
Yes.
To establish a museum.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is, I think, part of what they call the legacy project, too. I think the endowment and the legacy are endowment. Let me see. Endowment could be soliciting more funds so that they could keep the Memorial Park.
Oh.
Up, I think. And the legacy is the one that I was telling you about, the museum.
Mm-hmm.
But it also intermingles, intertwines in that they want to have something close to the park that they would be able to have this museum with artifacts that go from the Issei's, you know, the different photos, the photo exhibits that the Oregon Historical Society has had.
Right.
Did you have a chance to see that?
The photos that they had?
Yes. And articles that they had?
No, I didn't. No. But I have in the past. I've seen some of those. And
that is also part of the Historical Society. And mm-hmm. so it's their belongings.
Their collection.
Right. And so they want something that's going to be more permanent, just
sure.
as a museum.
Where would this building be then?
Northwest 2nd. I can't tell you exactly which.
Uh-huh. Is it in the Old Town
yes.
area there?
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Very close to the Memorial Park.
Oh, good.
I think it's just across the street and maybe a couple of blocks down.
Oh, good. Good. Are there other Nikkei organizations that are active today?
That is the Endowment and the Legacy, and then the they call it JASO, that's the Japanese Ancestral Society.
Uh-huh.
There's the JACL, which is Japanese American Citizens League.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the Oregon Buddhist that's connected with the Buddhist Church.
Oh.
And they have the Oregon Nisei Vets, which is a club with the veterans.
Huh?
And so each Memorial Day, we have a big ceremony at the Rose City Cemetery and at Lone Fir Cemetery. And at the Rose City Cemetery, they have a big monument for the names of the soldiers who were killed.
I've seen a photo of it. I haven't been out there to actually see it. Yeah. But
That was started by Dr. Toshi Kuge, who was very active in the organization. And the organizations that I have mentioned to you are the ones who participate in the graduation community banquet that we have for all the students of high school, the graduates. But they have to be even a fourth Japanese, because it is for the Japanese students. And that's getting to be much harder now because of the intermarriages. And if you have a name like Nancy Smith, you'd have no idea that she was part Japanese.
Right.
So if her name would be like Nancy Keiko Smith, then we would pick up on that. And so we send applications to all the high schools in our community, the greater Portland area, and then we select the top students. And then we have scholarships that were donated by Osmano or the Naito family and different people or organizations. And they are given to the top scholars. But we're having a much harder time now than before because of the intermarriages.
Are there other projects that are ongoing?
Not at the moment. Right now I'm working on a big project because I have the responsibility of making the community calendar. And so I have to find out the different organizations and what they're doing during the year, so there won't be a conflict of events. For instance, if our Methodist Church has a bazaar on October the 20th and they have the same bazaar at the Buddhist Church, then there'd be a conflict, so we need a whole community calendar. And so that's a project that I'm working on right now.
Now, you're referring to the Epworth Methodist Church. And what portion of the church is Nikkei or Nikkei descent, would you say?
Well, it used to be. We have already finished our 100th year celebration, and it used to be just for the so-called ethnic Japanese, where the first Japanese woman who came to Oregon, Mrs. Iwakoshi, was also a member from way back. But now there are quite a few members who have married out of the Caucasians, and, and they in turn want to bring their children to a place where they could at least be amongst Japanese. She'll mention to you that there are meeting places where you can only go where you see Japanese, because the whole community has spread out so far.
Right.
And so in some of the members, you'll find some of the women who have married Caucasians or vice versa who come there. And they might be living out Salem or Hillsboro or Tigard, who come once a week just to be amongst the Japanese there. So when we have bazaars, it's more or less half ethnic.
But there are other members of the church that are Caucasian.
Oh, yes. Or they're people who come from the neighborhood who come in. In fact, just about a month ago, we had a wonderful couple who came from England, and they had heard about the Japanese Methodist Church through some kind of connection. So they came three consecutive Sundays just to be amongst the Japanese. That was interesting.
Who have been the leaders of the Nikkei community in the past? Who would you consider? Yeah, who stands out as being the most prominent members of the Nikkei community?
The Niseis. Or are you talking about the whole Japanese
community? The whole Japanese community. Japanese American community.
They would probably be past presidents of the Japanese Ancestral Society.
Uh-huh.
And people, right now, one of the most prominent is George Asamano, who's Nikkei, who's also a Nisei. Mm-hmm. But he was the first Nisei in Oregon to receive the Emperor's Award, which
really?
Was a great honor.
Huh. Huh? He was the first Nisei?
Nisei.
Uh-huh.
But there are many, many Japanese who have received the Emperor's Award.
But
my husband has received the Emperor's Award.
But they were all Issei?
Issei.
And George Asamano was the first Nisei?
Nisei, yes.
To,
yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And what do you feel that he did to be honored that way?
Well, he is... He is a person of great integrity. He started the first insurance company that they celebrated 50th, I think it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been prominent in church affairs. He's mm-hmm. been prominent in Rotary. He's been prominent in many civil organizations and activities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's been past president of the Japan American Society. Mm-hmm. Same as my son, Sho.
Oh.
George, I've often told Sho that if he could follow in his, not only in his father's footsteps, but with footsteps of George, he would be a good person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of the younger generation, the Sansei, and their children, who is becoming the representative of those people or of the Japanese-American community?
Well, there's one dear friend. She's is a she, Haru Ninomiya, and she's been very active in the International Ikebana. She's been past president of Uridas. She's also a member of the... Nikkei Ancestral Society.
Mm-hmm.
She was very much involved in the remembrance programs.
Mm-hmm.
And
the remembrance programs were what?
For the bringing in of the reunion of the people after 50 years.
Uh-huh.
Of the people who lived in Portland who have scattered all over the world, and they had the Remembrance Day for those people to come. Mm. And there's going to be another one, I think, in the year 200.
Mm.
But she's a very much of a go-getter, and I would say that she's quite outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When your son was here a few minutes ago, and I was asking him this question, he was saying that he felt that there aren't as many spokespeople for the community because they're much more assimilated now, especially
exactly.
The younger people.
Right.
You feel that way as well?
I feel that way mm-hmm. because they are prominent in their own rights, in their own fields, but you mm-hmm. can't say that this person is outstanding. I mentioned Haru and George because not only are they personal friends, but they have been outstanding in all the different activities that they
mm-hmm.
have done.
Mm-hmm. 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 And going into your own personal activities, you retired when from your work with the schools?
1977, a year after my husband retired. I felt that I didn't want him to feel lost, and so we and at that time, I still had a feeling that he might want to retire in Japan, and so we took a very nostalgic trip together. And I told him at that time I would be able to use my English abilities and teach. And so, in not only with our social security, he would have his pension because he never became an American citizen. and I being able to teach that we might be able to make a living in Japan, but we couldn't, because we visited his old friends, we visited his old mentor who had been the superintendent of schools, and and we talked at length. We went back to his home in Fukuoka, and no way could we have made a living, because Japan was not at that time at the peak, but it had stability, and so people were making great amount of money, and their living standards are much higher, and with our pension and